All right, he's talked about building a wall between the U.S. and Mexico, he's disparaged people of Mexican descent as rapists and criminals, and he's called women pigs.
That is not true at all. The media makes this stuff up because they want an exciting race, and that's it. You need to do some homework on your own.
Let's stop right here. Perhaps you've heard some variation of this back and forth during this election cycle. During the last debate, people on social media started referring to it as gaslighting after the 1938 play in which a victim is manipulated into doubting what he or she otherwise knows to be factual, making them question their sanity. But when this technique is used for political objectives, there may be a better description for a tactic which follows a specific set of rules, and it has an illuminating history. Garth Jowett is a professor of communications at the University of Houston. Welcome to The Standard, Professor.
Thank you.
Let's talk about this tactic. What is the big lie?
The origin of the big lie, interestingly enough, does lie with Adolf Hitler. But in his book, Mein Kampf, Hitler talked about the technique of the big lie, but not in terms of how he was going to use it, but in terms that Germany had been subjected to the big lie by Jews to unfairly blame Germany's loss in World War I on Erich Ludendorff.
He was, in a sense, employing the very strategy that he was accusing the Jews of doing.
He also was a great admirer of the propaganda techniques of the British in World War I, and many times said that part of Germany's loss in World War I as a result of being out-propagandized by both Britain and the United States, and sort of vowed that that would never happen.
But lest we confuse the big lie with just telling a falsehood repeatedly, that's a different thing. We are talking about a specific tool here. There seem to be specific things that the big lie requires to work. Can you describe some of those?
There needs to be a strain of truth that can be identified by the mass audience.
Okay.
That's essential. And then after that, of course, you get into the question that you tell something so outrageous that a sane person would not believe that anybody would say that unless there was some truth to it. In essence, you tell something so outrageous to an audience that really doesn't have first-hand knowledge, and the immediate reaction is, boy, that sounds really outrageous, but maybe there's some truth to it. And if you say that often enough, loud enough, and without any opposing points of view, that big lie will eventually become part of the thinking and understanding of the mass audience.
Why does that work? What accounts for the phenomenon being effective at all?
Well, it tends to bring out deep psychology here in terms of people's general beliefs. I mean, one other thing, I hate to say this, has to look at the current election cycle to see that the American public are acting in ways which we normally would not expect them to act. Not the vast majority, but a significant number of people are being confronted with what are their deep feelings about certain subjects. You tell lies often enough about those deep feelings, you tell them as a big lie, and people will begin to see that as the truth.
It seems to me there's another factor here as well. I mean, we all need to believe in others. That's a condition of a functioning society where you have that human need and then you blend it in with the power of mass media to amplify those messages. Isn't that sort of central to how the big lie works?
Yes. Throughout history, if you look at various media forms, it's only in the last 100 plus years that we've had the kind of mass media that we've had. But go back to the Middle Ages and look at the spread of rumors, you know, about the Catholic Church or the Protestant Church and so forth. There's always been an opportunity to tell a big enough lie. I mean, let's consider the whole witch trials in Salem. Now, whether the belief in others tends to be lost in that whole formula, and that is your own subconscious will adopt those ideas as being truthful.
Let me ask you something, Professor. We like to think, I suppose, that we're smarter these days about efforts by politicians to manipulate us. Don't believe it.
No. We're not smart. I mean, one only has to look at the general population and see the things that they are willing to believe. We have a whole industry of fact checkers, and no matter what those fact checkers may fact check, and no matter what they may say about certain big lies, it has absolutely no effect upon the mass audience who have already absorbed those ideas.
Garth Jowett is a professor of communications at the University of Houston, and he is an expert on the subject of propaganda. Dr. Chow, thank you so much for taking time to speak with us on The Standard.
You're most welcome, and I've enjoyed it.